So I'm Michael Torres, the program manager for Community Action Housing Development.
Okay. Philip Johnson with the City of Melbourne.
Dave Scott, City of Washington.
Pete Capel, City of Canvas.
Mayor Crothers, Yakima.
Jim Sarvis, City of Wilson.
Julie Olson, Clark County Council.
Mayor Onslow, City of Ridgefield.
I'm Brian with City of Ridgefield.
Jana with Clark County.
Probably the only time we know everybody knows everything.
All right, item 2, is the motion to approve the minutes of March 14th?
I make a motion we approve the minutes of March 14th.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Item 3, updated 2016 funding and action plan review. Michael?
Good morning. So if you look at the minutes, there is a change in the funding and action plan from your page 2. This is what you saw and you approved for the funding and the proposed projects. And Janet, you should also have a separate sheet that looks like this, which is the updated matrix. And what we do, some of you may already know this from experience, but if new funding becomes available, what we do is we don't change anything in terms of the scoring, the ranking, whatever. We just put the funding in the next highest rank until the full funding request is done, and then we go down the line. So our finance department identified an additional $25,000 of program income. Funded but not to completion proposal was Proud Grounds. So we put in the $25,000 into Proud Grounds. So now from their $195,000 that were requested, they're at $83,570. So just, you know, we wanted to make sure that you're aware of that. And, you know, just it's information. So do you have any questions? And that will be general practice. If anything, if HUD allocated more funds, if more program income became available, proposer notifies us that they're not going to go through with the project, which makes funds available, you know, we go straight down to the next one, you know, until it meets the amount requested, and then we let you know. Before actually doing it. Okay. So the next thing we're going to discuss was what we call joint project funding proportionality. And this says action, but really what I'm going to do is discuss this, present it to you, and explain the changes we intend to do in procedures, and, you know, assuming that you've okayed it, and then we'll bring it back in writing with procedures for you to look at and approve. But in practice, what we do, we work, actually Peggy Sheehan was going to be here, and she's my counterpart at City of Vancouver. Some of you may know her. We work pretty closely with the City of Vancouver when it comes to home and CDBG funding in terms of coordinating joint projects. And, you know, an example of a joint proposal would be Salvation Army, CDM, you know, the ones that you've looked at, which would be, you know, funded by both jurisdictions, a proposal that benefits, you know, populations in both jurisdictions, and they're asking for funding from both the city and the county, and the project does not move forward unless it is funded on some level by both. Now, what we do, we work with the City of Vancouver to make sure that whatever request for funding that they make is proportional to the benefit that each jurisdiction gets. So again, using either Salvation Army or CDM as an example, they ask for a total of, $300,000 total from, you know, the city and the county combined. And they may first submit the proposal and be $150,000 each. Well, what we do is we say, well, wait a minute. What are the demographics of those that are going to benefit from this proposal? How many are coming from the city? How many are coming from the county? And maybe it comes out to be 55% of the people served will come from the city, and 45% will come from the county. So in a case like that, we say, well, 55% of the total amount you're requesting, request from the city, 45 requests from the county, and adjust accordingly. So we have them adjust the proposal before it comes to you. You know, we go through the proposal, help them do that, and structure it before you even see it. If it gets funded, it gets funded in those amounts. Now, for a joint proposal to move forward, both jurisdictions need to decide to fund it on some level. It gets complicated because, you know, there may be different funding availability, just like Proud Ground, who submitted $195,000 worth of funding, but we only had at the time, 50-some thousand. You know, now it's at 83. It's still partial funding. And both the city and the county evaluate and rank the projects differently, you know, based on their own priorities, as they should. So what has been practiced, and so everything I'm describing right now is not going to change. We don't want to change it. We don't see the need to. And in fact, we think it's extremely important to do that coordination between the city and the county, and keep those proposals proportional in terms of funding. Where it gets complicated is using Salvation Army as an example again, because that's the case that got us thinking through. It's unusual, but it does happen. The Urban County Policy Board here, you know, you ranked that as your top project, and it got fully funded. The City of Vancouver ranked it as their bottom project. So initially, it didn't get funded. Now, from my perspective, that's fine. It's a joint proposal, and there's Peggy. And we just started talking about the joint project proportionality. So that's fine. One of the two participating jurisdictions don't fund it. The project doesn't move ahead. Use that money for some other proposal. Now, what the city does as practice is if it's out of consideration for the county, if the county decides to fund it, they will actually go back and fund it at some amount to allow something that we considered a priority to move forward. So in the case of Salvation Army, it was our top rank proposal. We fully funded it because, you know, our top rank gets the money first. The city did not. Then they went back and funded it $20,000. So, you know, now, the county is funding it at $250,000. The city is funding it at $20,000. So what practice has been in the past is we've gone back again and reduced the funding to meet that proportionality again. That's what we've done in the past. And in our discussions, and this is why, you know, this is I'm bringing to discuss here, we think that adds unnecessary complication. And while I think funding, you know, doing the coordination with the different participating jurisdictions to do proportional funding and to make the project proposals, make sure there's not duplication of effort, it's important, it needs to continue, to go back on something that was ranked as a priority for one and funded in accordance with how it's valued in that priority after we've done all the coordination, to then go back and reduce the funding and put the project, you know, the very existence of the project potentially at risk doesn't make sense to me. And that, you know, it doesn't make sense to the rest of the staff. So what we want to do, and if this makes sense to you as well, we will put it in the UCPB procedures, because that's the other thing. This has not been in writing. This has just been past practice. What we want to do is delineate the coordination we're going to do with the city for proportional funding on the front end, as we have been doing, and then state that once it's been scored and ranked and funded, we move forward with that. Because, you know, if you really think through it, if it's, you know, once it's scored and ranked and funded, it's going to also get funded in accordance with how each participating jurisdiction values it. So I think if, you know, proportional funding with the demographics is important, and that coordination should happen. But it could be a service that is more valuable to the city, or more important, a higher priority to the city for very legitimate reasons, or to the county. So, you know, there's more than one reason for funding it. So we do want to continue doing proportional funding based on demographics, but once it's ranked and scored by the different participating jurisdictions, we want to just go with the way it was ranked and scored, unless there's a change in some kind of funding allocation, as we do. You know, either funding becomes less available and we have to make a change, and then we can bring it back to the table and discuss it, or more funding becomes available.
How do you do both?
What's that?
How do you do both? It doesn't seem like if you're going to look at both sides, you're just saying, well, you got to ignore one. I mean, you can't satisfy both. You can't say we're going to do proportionality and then say, well, we decided not to.
Well,
after it's all done.
Well, so we're always going to be proportional in planning, you know. But I think that's the way. I think, you know, it's never going to be perfect, and I think we need to go to a certain point, but to go back after the fact, and it's unusual, but, you know, but like this, it happens. You know, for example, you know, Salvation Army, we funded it at $250,000, so we're going to go back and reduce it to $20,000. You know, go from what was the...
What is the proportionality on that particular
that was,
one?
Was it 45-55? I think it was 45-55 on the county.
Which way?
Towards the county side. It was a little bit heavier.
55 county?
Yeah.
In my mind, though, the Salvation Army is our example. It's being built in Vancouver.
Correct.
And the city of Vancouver says it's their number one priority.
Yeah.
So if it's not important to the people that the city is being built into, why is it important to the rest of us? If the people, who's there for, by the way?
Well, it's different. And that's another piece to this puzzle. And reason. They do a completely different scoring board. A different method of scoring, and they don't have a standing committee like we do that receives the projects and does the proposals. They have a little bit more, a slightly bigger staff role in the scoring, and it's a committee that changes year to year. It's a volunteer committee, and then once they do the project scoring, they also don't do the funding, the available funding goes to the top ranked projects until you run out. Then they come back and kind of negotiate whether or not they spread all the funding amongst all the projects. So, you know, there are a couple different reasons for this as well. And, you know, that's just something. Peg can explain the city process a little more if I haven't.
But I mean, if they were going to build, we were funding something, they were going to build in Washougal or Battleground, and the people of Washougal said, "Yeah, no."
Yeah.
Then why would we send the money? And in this case, we're building something or funding something, not building, funding something in Vancouver, and the people in Vancouver said, "No." So go down the list and find somebody else.
But I think this one's a this one's a little bit unique in that if it was a project that was entirely or almost entirely funded with CBGG monies from the city and the county, that would be one thing. But our contribution to the project is relatively small as a whole. I mean, it's a very big project, and so it would seem to me that this would be unique.
Well, I think it's less unique. You know, the fact is most of, and that's why we're having this discussion. And you know, and honestly, this is for something for you guys to decide. And we'll go with, you know, we've been going back and changing the proportionality to this point. You know, I think at some point you have to make it clean, as clean as possible. But we need to put it in writing either way. But I think the reality is most of the proposals that we get, especially, you know, the higher costs they are, becomes especially true, is the city and the county put a piece of that funding in. And we're gonna see it, you know, where we're talking CDM, we're talking Salvation Army, we're talking, you know, Proud Brown. Most of the funding that gets that purchase is not city and county CDBG home funds. You know, it may be, it's a combination of tax credit, it's a combination of, you know, private loans, you know, donations, like in the case of Salvation Army. So, you know, but I also, you know, completely understand and don't fundamentally disagree is, you know, if it's a joint proposal and it's not important to one of the jurisdictions, you know, not have it move forward.
So I'm taking a sheet with the city of Vancouver. We have a, like Michael was saying, we have a volunteer group that looks at them and scores them, and then we set the priorities and city council approves the priorities. So it's a group, this year there was 21 people involved, so and they all so they have lots of applications. And then just a couple other things. So the Salvation Army, the city of Vancouver, it feels like we're in an affordable housing crisis, so we focus most of our money on housing this year, so that's why it didn't get scored so highly. Is our focus is housing.
And in terms of process, I'm sorry, just did I also want to make you aware of in terms of the coordination going back? The schedules between the city and the county don't meet. You know, as much as we coordinate, and we do, and try to match them up, they don't meet exactly. So to use an example of Salvation Army again, you know, the city council has not, you know, they haven't made the finalized decision. You know, neither council, neither county nor the city has made the final decision in terms of approving the funding level. So this conversation we're having about Salvation Army being funded at $20,000 is really kind of hypothetical right now, because it hasn't gone forward and been approved at the city council level.
I mean, they might not get any.
They might not get any, or they might get it all.
And I guess is there an opportunity once these projects are scored by the different, you know, is there an opportunity to come back together and say, okay, well, we're kind of separate on this one. Is there any discussion after the scoring of the projects?
Yes, I mean, limited, you know, to an extent.
And this is an exception? These are exceptions.
These are exceptions, and Sam's been wanting to sort of say something.
Well, one thing I just wanted to add into the conversation is that HUD does look carefully at any funds you spend outside of your jurisdiction, and so we would have to make sure that we made the case. They would ask the question, well, if you have 50% of the people using the facility, why did you fund 90% of the CDBG funds if the city only did 10%? And we would have to make sure that we documented if we were going to fund a different proportion. That's why we've always done it.
But we also think that, you know, if we have our process in writing, you know, and we're saying how we're figuring out the proportionality and how the decision was made, you know, that would meet that requirement. So, you know, so that's, we can continue doing the way we've been doing it, now's the time to have that discussion, because honestly, I don't know that the Salvation Army project is of such importance that if we were to change it, you know, it would be devastating to either jurisdiction. You know, but I could see at some point in the future a proposal that were very important to one jurisdiction, that was fully funded by one jurisdiction, and for whatever reason was not funded at the same level or very, you know, minorly funded by another jurisdiction, and that proposal would not move forward because of, you know, changes that we made after the fact, after the ranking and scoring and funding decisions had been made. So that's why I think it's important to discuss this.
So I have a couple of questions. One is, the city of Vancouver, you called it extends a courtesy to the county when something that we funded partially or fully does not get funded, and it's a joint application, they will try to find some funding. In this case, they did. They, after the fact, after their scoring has already taken place, whether it's the staff that does it or however that works, they found $20,000, which is a little bit as a courtesy in deference to the decision of this group about ranking priority. Do we offer a similar reciprocal courtesy? So, for example, I wonder if, say, Share Aspire Case Management got funded in Vancouver.
It did.
It did. So do we offer a courtesy back?
We almost never have joint projects outside the city.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then another question is, do we know what, say, Tacoma and Pierce County do when this comes up, or say Bellevue and King, Seattle and King?
Well, they don't really have the same, that I know of, they don't have the same issue. You know, we're kind of unique in that setup.
Tacoma's an entitlement community, or did they defer on that? They're not an entitlement.
You know.
Tacoma's entitlement.
They're entitlement, so they might have a facility in downtown Tacoma that asks the county and the city.
Sure.
They ask Peter. I mean, I don't know.
No, we'll find out.
Anytime I'm looking at policy changes, I like to look at practice and what other folks are doing. And if they've been doing it the way that you're proposing, and there's a rational basis for both of these approaches.
Yes.
There's a rational basis for it. It'd be interesting to know if the new proposal, which is a change, has been vetted and found to be okay by HUD.
Well, and both of these, you know, methods, neither of them has really been put into writing as the procedure that we're going to follow, you know, which is one of the things we really want to do. So
either way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting question. What do you do when a joint funding proposal is only approved on one level or funded at one level? When we go out for projects, you know, I'm trying to think of other agencies. It's not exactly the same. I'm looking for some analogy. We go to TIB and ask for a bunch of money for a road project, and we also go to the RTC, which is federal money, to get some STP money, and we get the TIB, but we don't get the STP. I don't know that they go back. Now, that's a state and a federal thing. It's administered locally, but it's state and fed. I think sometimes there's coordination between state and fed. But I'm not aware that TIB hangs their funding if STP doesn't fund, and vice versa. That's not a perfect analogy.
No.
But it's this concept of there are multiple funding sources going after these projects, and if ultimately the county council, based on the recommendation of this board, finds a project worthy and it's funded legitimately to serve county residents, it seems okay to do that.
By regulation, it is.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the context for your proposal.
Mm-hmm.
The context for past practice is, now we got to be in it together. If we're not in it together, we're going to kind of defer to the host. And so in that case, in our setup, we would always be deferring to Vancouver for projects that are located in Vancouver, to the
In this case, I don't remember what their total project was. They're asking what, $153,000 from us?
Wasn't it about seven million?
Seven and some change.
It's a huge project.
Yeah,
they did share with me that they're going to be out. They'll ask for funding to proceed with you again next year.
Well, yeah, it's an ongoing project.
Well, and there's another piece later in the agenda. We're going to come back to this project and discuss something else. So let me summarize what I think I've heard to this point. We're going to look up the other jurisdictions in Washington and identify where are some splits between two jurisdictions that are likely to have joint projects and find out what the process is for those. And wherever possible, identify where to have that process in writing, and not because that's part of it. You know, we want consistency moving forward, and not just consistency in terms of whether or not we went with the decision we made based on a rational approach and a split, but then when we go back, how is it that we go back and make sure that in future cases like that we're doing the same approach the same way. So we'll go to other jurisdictions and find out their process, and I will report that back to you guys. Initially, I think we'll send you an email just describing it, so you don't have to wait for another meeting. And I think what I'm hearing also is this discussion is not closed. You know, like, I'm not getting the okay, yes, let's move forward with that. Let's find out more. That's what I'm hearing. So, which is fine. And can you think, is there anything that I've missed that we haven't discussed about this?
Do you have a date certain that you're up against?
Well, we want to have our procedures in place before the next round, you know, before next year. So between now and the fall,
year.
You know, is when we really need to get this. I think the RFAs that we put out are August, September-ish, I think, right?
They're released October 1st, but we start working on them back in August.
So we want to have our procedures in place.
What are you doing? Are you following the past practice on this one?
We don't know yet.
Is there a deadline that you need to give direction on us on that?
Yes, actually there is. We need to know that this month because we have to submit our action plan. That's the next thing in the agenda, the action plan review. Is, you know, we need to let HUD know what we're doing for this round of projects that have been proposed. So the kind of merging into that part of the discussion, this week we were going to, or are going to, we have to, put out a request for public input notification on the website, you know, saying what proposals were received and to what level they're being funded at. And April 26th, we are on the agenda for the Board of County Commissioners to councilors to discuss this and let them know that it's open for public comment. And I think that public comment will close around the 11th of May, and we will submit our action plan to HUD via IDIS, which is their information system, by May 15th. So for this case, Salvation Army, we do need to know whether we're funding at $20,000 or $250,000.
You know when the Vancouver City Council would meet? Okay, they're in the $250,000.
We had our initial meeting with council last week, and tonight they're going to be doing the first reading and then the public hearings the first week of May.
So they're not going to make a decision until the middle of May.
First Monday in May.
So after us.
But in this specific case for Salvation Army, you know, because obviously, you know, I'm I'm happy to go back and make it proportional. You know, if you give me that direction now, we will follow, you know, your intent with this case. And there's another thing that we're going to talk about with Salvation Army in a moment, which may change that. But pending, pending further discussion until we have a procedure in writing that's done before fall. If what you want us to do is make the funding to the Salvation Army proposal proportional to the city as it is right now, we will do that. You know, if the direction for this specific case is funded as was discussed and voted on, you know, we will do that.
So you mentioned that the car's official information is not proportional.
Yeah.
Not if it's not proportional, but just if you're funding anything outside of your jurisdiction, which the city of Vancouver is its own entitlement. So if you fund anything in the city of Vancouver, we need to make sure we document clearly why we're investing those funds.
Why is it a benefit to the county? We have that information.
Okay.
So you know, I'm pretty...
Well, if you don't have the information, you're not very good at writing. So.
Correct. Correct. I mean, yeah, that's really the bottom line. Is a good fix, you know?
What kind of accountant do you want? You know?
I don't recall. Is this money for construction?
It's construction.
Okay, now, following up on that, it says on this chart here, $153,000, and we keep talking $250,000.
Oh, their total proposal was $250,000 to the city and the county. We funded it $153,000. Thank you. Because of the proportion.
The proportion gives the county $153,000, and the city picks up the other $97,000. Hmm. At $55,000, $45,000.
But they didn't pick it up.
They right. picked up $20,000.
They picked up $20,000.
No.
Okay, so the figure that the county would be is 153.
Correct.
All right.
And thank you for.
I was getting kind of confused. I keep looking at it like, okay, you're combining something other figure that I don't see. But
I mean, they made a presentation to us. They sold it, if you will, as we're all in this together.
Yes.
And we're not. Now we figure out we're not all in it. Well, half of all of us has decided that they only want to do 10% of it.
Well, in defense of Salvation Army in that, I think you know, what they sold us and what they presented is, this is what we are proposing to the city and the county, and this is how we have structured it in a fair way. And that was based on our feedback. You know, so no proposer, Salvation Army or anyone else, can decide for the county and the city whether, you know, we're the ones that decide that we're all in it together. So, you know.
Any opportunity for the city of Vancouver to find another $57,000?
Under the couch cushions?
What they asked for was...
Great job of lobbying four people.
Four
out of the seven. Yeah. That's all they need, right? They only need four out of the seven.
You know, and they understand the housing issue too. I mean, they're getting lots of money from the city of Vancouver. It's just not a project. So,
I was going to, you know, we're saying this is unusual, but it seems pretty evident what happened. We've used this year the same criteria and weighting that we've used in the past. And it sounds like this year Vancouver more heavily weighted in their scoring housing. However they manifested that, they added another one or they upped the percentage of a housing one, so the ones that were for housing scored higher.
Yes, there's a couple of people on the council, Vancouver Council, that are very high on housing there.
And that's been a priority of the Vancouver Council. I don't remember, in my years when I worked there, I don't remember controversy at the council from the advisory committee's recommendations. Council ask any questions about this particular issue?
No, not about this one. They just asked if there was any controversy in the discussion.
Right.
It's just really hard.
You know, as a staff person, I'm a staff person, you never want to say, well, this is what's going to happen, right? But it sounds like, based on the process that I'm familiar with, most likely the recommendation of that committee will go through the council. Mm-hmm. and that's fine because
you've not been part of this
because it wasn't necessary, right? Yeah. And but when asked to opine about it, you know, it's easy and comfortable to default to past practices. Past practices has been okay, but I'm also willing to come back in for a meeting at a shorter time frame than we normally do when we have more information, so that we can get you what you need to do.
So in fairness to you, also, you haven't been aware, like, you know, when it's happened in the past, and you know, that is just one, at least not in this kind of format. You know, I think we've always come back after the fact, and you know, we've made information available, but it's, you know, as a done deal, and what we're having here is conversation.
So I'd just like to add that in the past, when this happened, when the city and the county haven't fully funded both projects, the change has been a few thousand dollars. It's not been anything significant that we felt needed to come back to the board to discuss, because it would be just a handful of dollars for the total of our project. So this is the first time that we've had a significant difference in what the city, what the request was versus what was funded.
It seems to me that I'm reading ahead on the stuff that's on a future agenda item.
We may have a solution.
And I think it becomes a lot easier to fix this once you've gone through that.
It's like reading the book from the back.
I know what the answer is.
Well, that's specific to Salvation Army.
Yeah, well, today.
Yeah,
but it's there's still the policy.
That's a decision that we're going to need to make.
Yes. So if you want, I will deviate from the agenda and we'll jump to that while we're talking about it, which is the Salvation Army and Bridge Youth timeline, and then come back to the information on the HUD environmental monitoring. Okay.
And Ridgeview has city and county.
It does. And Ridgeview is not really going to be an issue as much of this discussion. Do you want to just brief where we are with the Ridgeview timeline?
So Ridgeview is still working on getting all of the funding in place. They did receive the WACA state capital funds that they just found this out last month, and they plan on beginning construction in November with a 10-month construction timeline.
So they were a 2014 were closer, you know, so in that process selected for funding. They've been waiting for having their funding finalized to this point, and that's when they're moving forward. I was just answering a question. But we did not know for sure where Ridgeview was and when they were going to start construction until basically, yeah, this month, when the Housing Trust Fund information, and you know, we got more information from those proposers on where they were at in terms of their funding. So, which brings us to Salvation Army and this same proposal. Their original proposal had them starting construction in late next year, late 2017. In the latest timeline, which you have in your package, it's now in 2018. So when we get HUD funds and allocate HUD funds, we need to allocate them within 2 years, and they need to be spent within 5 years. So this is going to be kind of pushing the parameters. It's within, but it's going to be pushing the parameters that we have. And if they fall back in their funding timelines, they might not be able to meet that, which we don't want to be in a position where we have unspent dollars that we could spend on other projects and we have to return them to HUD. One thing that an idea that we had when Salvation Army gave us their new timeline was you could decide to do what you approved to fund them at this year as a set aside for next year. So basically, you know, their proposal that they made this year, you know, scored as it was, as funded as it was, but they'll get their $153,000, whatever it is we decided to fund them at, with $2017. You know, we've set aside, you know, set that aside. And we'll spend that, you know, that $153,000 of $2016 on the other projects. You know, we'll continue going down the line. So that we can be sure that the money is spent in a timely manner that's more to HUD's, you know, it would make us more comfortable in meeting the HUD regulations.
Can you enlighten me a little bit on the bridge view thing? Because I'm confused.
The bridge view thing is not directly related to that. It was a completely different proposal, but it was another proposal where your construction timeline was about a year, a little bit over a year out from when they proposed it. Because it, you know,
so
like,
it is not on our list.
It's an information only on your list, the
okay.
bridge view piece.
All
and
right.
and the piece of information on that is that they now have their funding, and we just found out last week that they now have their funding and they're starting construction in November.
Bridge view.
Yeah, this was a project that was funded last year, the 2015 fund. So
okay.
Yes, thank you. That is why it's not on this current list, because it's a prior round.
So based on that, to me, it seems that we could go to just the match with the proportionality match with the City of Vancouver this year, so it puts a little bit of money toward what they ultimately need is $300,000 on their pro forma for local government support. And then fund more other things this year going down the list, and then revisit it again next year, and they will probably have a better idea where they're at. Right?
Or you could say to Vancouver, it's possible, you wouldn't want to say for sure, but it's possible that the $153,000 is in jeopardy unless Vancouver steps up, because that would be next year, not this year. And then they'd have $20,000 also to move down in their housing or whatever they wanted it for.
Right. Would we be making a guarantee to Salvation Army they will be on next year's list? Because in my mind, the City of Battleground
yeah.
may actually have some outfit that wants to actually come in and compete.
Yeah.
Yeah, Copa
that's my thought.
Washougal. And if people in the past guaranteed money in the future, that's I don't do that.
Yeah. Okay. That's my concern when I was thinking what was in
the you won this year. You didn't win with Vancouver in my mind. So it didn't work out for you. I mean
there may be other projects like both saying that come along next year that
yeah,
you know.
That this board may find
more suitable
county residents.
And then all of a sudden Salvation Army, who we put up high this year,
who will suck up quite a bit of the money. I don't like that.
Which that's why we're having the discussion. So let me you know, I've come to you with a lot of information, you know. So and we do have an action plan to submit to HUD. So how does it? So in regards to Salvation Army, because I'm also hearing is we're not, you know, there's pushback or there's not a lot of interest right now in doing the set aside for next year. You know, so
I can go along with saying I'll give it extra consideration, but I hate to say that I'm of the same thought.
Back on
Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, and we don't want to be windy.
So let's plan. let me ask you. So for Salvation Army right now, for purposes of the action plan that we need to get into HUD and we need to get public comment on, how does it sound if we plan going with past practice and doing it proportional to the city funding? So that's what we do with Salvation Army now. And then we also, because I do want our process in writing. for future cases. And this may be somewhat of an anomaly based on where city-county priorities are and based on what the funding amounts are, but this is going to happen again, you know, and we're going to have the issues in terms of scheduling the different processes, and they are slightly different. So we do want it in writing, we do want it in the same way. So that's what we would do with Salvation Army now for the purposes of this action plan. And we will still go and look at other participating jurisdictions and how they do the split and report to you guys on that so that we can decide how we want to do it formally moving forward and put it in writing. Is that?
I agree, because I mean if you look at how a lot of the dynamics are changing from what the county sees as a priority and what the city sees a priority, I mean not taking nothing away from the city, but sometimes they are drastically different. You know, so I think it's important that
housing is
we have
a perfect example.
Yeah, that we have a process, like you said, that it's in writing. So it's a little more.
Well, you know, another possibility that could happen, you know, is we do the set aside for Salvation Army right now, and then next year, either there are different proposals that we'd rather fund, or maybe the county does have a different priority, you know, than it did this year, and you'd want to fund it accordingly.
I would also suggest that you don't make the policy ironclad.
Yes.
Please.
We don't
make
it loose.
we want the ability to do that, but not just the staff. You know, I mean that's why we're spending the time to discuss this. Is you know, as a UCPD,
it's a guideline.
Yeah.
It's a cool suggestion.
So then the rest of the funding, if we went with the 20 and the 20, which is what it sounds like we're doing,
of
then
the 20 and 30 or something.
Or 20, 30,
yeah,
whatever
proportion
of
it is.
So then the rest of that funding would move down then to Proud Ground?
So it would go to Proud Ground, followed by Evergreen, Habitat for Humanity, followed, you know, it just goes straight down the line.
Well, it would only fit Proud Ground.
Yeah.
So
Proud Ground would get fully funded.
Right.
There might be a little bit for Habitat, a little bit, maybe one lot.
So kind of rough math, it would fully fund Proud Ground and then leave about $20,000 on the table, which we have to talk to Evergreen to see if that's something worth them moving forward with their project. We would then use it as contingency or save it for next year.
Yes. So that would be exactly as Rebecca. So, you know, either Evergreen would be like, yes, give us that 20, which they may say no. It might not be worth it to them based on what their proposal is. But if they said no, we would either use that, add that to contingency funds for a program, or it would just get rolled into next year's
funds. So Tanis Youth, who could use 20 grand, would be out.
As of right now.
Could we roll it to them?
No.
We currently have $30,000 set aside for contingency, so we could look at reducing that and putting a little bit more into Habitat if that would make it a feasible project.
Or if Habitat said no, then would the next one be Janice Youth if you had that $25,000?
Could you fund that?
Yeah.
So the direction I'm hearing right now from UCPB is make Salvation Army proportional. Talk to, we go by the process we follow, which is we fully fund the next one.
Right.
And then when the remainder, we'll ask the next one. And if they say no, then we'll ask the next one.
I would suggest that when you ask the second one, keep it, you know, tell them what the third one is. It would fully fund the other one if, you know,
we'll
see what they say.
We'll do.
They're buying lots, right? With
yes.
This money, Habitat?
Yes.
I don't remember what lots are.
Well, they're not 25,000.
You can't miss them all too, but they're not.
Maybe a Yakal.
not even there anymore.
Okay, so we're going to need a motion then to.
So we do need a motion, and that motion is to fund Salvation Army proportionally.
Right.
To then take those funds and just move it down the list as per the ranking and scoring.
I still move.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
So
and 6. We have not talked about 5. This will be faster. This is just for information only. That was the painful part of the meeting. So we briefly mentioned at the last UCTV that we had been monitored by the Department of Housing and Urban Development for, you know, basically their basic program monitoring and also an environmental review. You know, so just basically a program audit, you know, on both of those things. So the program monitoring took place between July 20th and July 23rd. The environmental review started concurrently, and that ended up in September is when they had their closeout. In the program monitoring, there was one finding. That finding was related to how we determine service areas. Well, not how we determine, but the documentation that we keep to validate what we consider a service area for a proposal. So, you know, if we're talking about Salvation Army, you know, their example again, you know, what is the service area of that facility that's being proposed, and how we determine it and how we document it. So it was a finding that the county disagreed with, and, you know, and we had the county auditors right there with the HUD auditors. But despite the fact that we disagreed, we also said, asked for some more guidance information on how they wanted us to document the service areas, got some limited information, and submitted it to HUD, and that finding has been closed. So if you're ever interested in the details of the monitoring, we will make that available to you, but we wanted to make sure you knew that there was monitoring last year. There was one finding, it was on LMAs. We submitted a new documentation, some expanded documentation in the process for it, and it's closed. The environmental monitoring had 3 findings, again, related to how we document historical preservation, environmental review in terms of species, toxic materials in you know, or impact of toxic materials in proposals, and also how we document contacts with tribal with the tribes. We submitted the expanded information that HUD asked for. And the 2 of those findings are closed. We just got a request week before last, for some additional documentation to close the remaining finding on environmental reviews related to documentation of toxics, species, and historical preservation. And yeah, I will be reviewing the packet that we're going to send them with the requested information to close that finding this week. So, you know, again, I just want to make you aware of that, and, you know, all the letters that they've sent us and the exact forms and documentation that we are sending back to them to close the findings, because, you know, we're happy to make it available to you. Any questions on that?
Send my copy to Philip so he can read it for me.
Sure. I've got plenty of time. I'm just hanging out at home now.
So you can summarize it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's number 5. So if there are no other questions, that's the item.
Any other items from board members?
There is another. Go ahead.
So I just wanted to give an update. So in the 2016 funding, we funded, the Urban County Policy Board funded the Ridgefield downtown accessibility improvements. It was a conditional funding based on surveys. So I know a couple of the agencies, jurisdictions are Richfield is about 3/4 of the way done getting all the information that we need for those surveys. It does look like all of the areas will be low mod income, which is my last bits of review and using the HUD worksheet. So that project should move along with the full funding.
Yeah, I just got the notice that I got to go to the office, hey, have my hands left. I mean, that's pretty interesting in that you do it without anybody, so there's no, it's anonymous, right? So you go up to a house, and I did it the right way, where you don't, so when I get done, I don't know which house it was. Now I've got about 3 houses that I got to figure out which house was that out of the 15 that I went to, or whatever that I went to re-ask or to rethink, oh, what house was that?
You were just here, man. Leave me alone.
I know. They all look at you like, what are you here for?
I'm from the city. I'm here to help.
I'm here to help you. Yeah.
So when HUD looks at the low-mod income when we do a survey, it is not just the number of households that are low income, it's the number of families within the household, and then it's based on the number of people within each family, within each household. And so it can get very confusing.
Yes.
And so it's actually looking at the number, when we get down to it, is the number of people. So you can have a household of 8 that is under income next to a household of 7 that is over, and you are going to get the 51%. So it's not the number of households, it's the number of people within the families within that household.
That probably would have helped. I know I had one house, small house, and they had 3 families, and I said, okay.
Holy crap. So would it be helpful for us, because I know Richfield is almost always, for the next several years, Richfield's going to have to do surveys, because none of their census tracts are going on. Washington had quite a few changes within their this last time around. I can put together a training on how to do income surveys for you if you'd like. We can do it not at an urban county policy board, or I could just kind of put some policy procedures together. Whatever you'd like to have me do to help you guys, especially when you're helping your volunteers that are going out to do this.
Or an instruction sheet, because it gets lost in translation between you to me.
Exactly. So just let me know what you would like.
It's not so bad. It's just 99% of it's pretty easy, and people are it. It's kind of funny, after I got all done, I got several emails, because I gave them my card, because like, and so I give them my card, and oh, the city's here, and then I got emails of things that they'd
other
like
stuff.
To
yeah.
have done.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I'd like to extend my services for you as staff to the board, that if you, when you're looking at next year's applications, and you're looking at something I am more than happy to come out and meet with you and really kind of delve into what is going to be needed to get that survey approved by HUD before you can even begin your survey and the process of doing that.
And just so you know, when we do that, we have to submit what we're going to do for each project. We have to submit, this is our proposed survey methodology, and then HUD reviews it and approves it. So, and as they pointed out during our finding, they're approving the survey methodology does not mean that they're approving our proposed service area. So, the reason I'm mentioning that is because, we're happy to do the whatever training workshops and procedures in writing. We're still going to go back and check with HUD, and we may still get changed.
The rules don't change.
Yeah. So no guarantee.
Yeah. And that's fine.
Yeah. Let's make one visit and make it good.
Yeah.
Okay, did you have one other thing?
The only other thing I wanted to say, so in terms of other things to keep on your radar between now and the next RFA, what you will see very near term is we are going to pull the thread of what are the other jurisdictions doing in terms of the proportionality. We're going to hear back on that. The other thing we want to do kind of prompted by our, you know, Ridgeview Salvation Army proposals that have a construction date that are several years ahead. We are going to be having some staff discussions internally, and how do we make that to be more readily reflected in their proposal, and how do we make that be reflected in the scoring? Because we want projects that are shovel-ready or closer to shovel-ready to score higher than projects that are still like just in a long-term financing situation. So more, you're going to hear more from us on that, but we're going to have that discussion. And the last, the other thing, you know, that we're going to be talking about prior to next RFA is what are the linkages that we make in terms of like the TDRA and case management, things that are, that there is a linkage in funding between the home and the CDBG proposal. How do we do it so that that's more readily available so that when you're scoring and ranking it, you're scoring and ranking it as a combined proposal as opposed to two separate things. So, you know, more to follow on that. So those were the only other things that I think Mr. Scott had.
I just have one question, just a request as follow-up, and maybe I'll answer my own question. We struggled with this same issue. We didn't get the surveys to pan out. It wasn't because it wasn't an eligible area. It's because folks wouldn't participate. Mm. I don't know if Mayor Card will go on the doors, but we didn't get people participating. They did not, you know, they, if they answered the door, they weren't interested in talking to the folks that came to the door, or they weren't interested in sharing the information that we need. But there are some types of infrastructure projects that are, I don't know if I used the right lingo, universally eligible. For example, the senior center project that we're almost done with a couple cycles ago.
I presume
that's legit. I think ADA ramps anywhere in your community are. What, and that's about as far as my short list goes. We're working with the team. We either try to find a project, and there's a lot of cool projects that we could do. There's needs in all of our communities. And we can kind of go, yeah, it looks like that's eligible, but boy, we may not be able to demonstrate that it is because people won't be responsive. If there was a way to get a longer list of those universally eligible examples, and I don't know if it's appropriate for you to provide that to us, but it's basically this coaching with these types of projects. Here's some things that folks have done in the past. These are great things to do in your community, but this money, you don't have to worry about the certain person.
So what I'll tell you is that there's a presumed benefit category, and that includes people who are disabled, that's why the ramps are eligible. People who are homeless, migrant farm workers, abused children, and it's just like 7 or 8 categories of folks who can be presumed eligible for CDBG funds, and then you would base your project around that population.
Well, we based our survey on Washougal's, which were pretty good in that they asked the innocuous questions to begin with. You don't go in, you don't walk up and say, and how much do you make?
like the census, and I see.
And how many people are in this house? And they're all sensitive to that, so we ask you, what do you want to see in the city? And,
yeah.
Yeah. I got 2 last questions here. But it worked pretty good. I was pretty impressed that the people responded. Every person that I talked to did respond. So
it's great.
The big dog helped. But move, we adjourn.
We'll adjourn.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the input.
Well, that's a good discussion.
That's actually our survey. We created that.
Oh, is it yours? Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
It was Washougal's to begin with.
Oh,
it was ours first.